Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's program on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, have you ever thought back to the beginning of your career and said to yourself, how the heck did I get through all that? Or, with all the cards stacked against you, how is it possible for you to succeed? Now, I'm sure there are so many of you that have incredible stories of succeeding against all odds or turning challenges into solutions, and that's my topic for the day. What do you do when it seems like all hope is gone, or maybe there's such a huge problem on the horizon, and you just might have the solution? Well, let me tell you about my humble beginnings in the world of sales. Now, as most of you know, I spent 30 years with all men. I was in construction, security systems, copiers, and insurance, and yes, I was the minority. Now, you may think that I had a distinct advantage being a young, somewhat cute woman traveling in this sea of men, but it wasn't at all like that. Do you remember the song on Sesame Street, "One of these things is not like the other"? Well, that was me. I wasn't like anyone else. Not only did I not look like everyone else, I didn't sell like anyone else. There were so many strikes against me, and I just kept coming back to the plate to hit that ball like there was no tomorrow. But I always remembered that no matter how hard I tried, I was fighting an uphill battle with one hand tied behind my back. Now, I'm a pretty good negotiator, and I'm an awesome salesperson and sales trainer. What I'm not is stupid. And I knew that in some instances, I was not welcome in the good old boys club. I knew more than most, but I didn't have the right equipment. So I wasn't seen as either a threat or as an asset. I was seen as dead weight. But the only thing you can't fool with in sales are numbers, and I did have those on my side. I was the number one agent, the number one sales leader, and the number one agency manager. Plus, I had some other numbers on my side. I recruited better than most, but, and this is a big but, they weren't only warm bodies that fogged the mirror. These were qualified candidates that not only wrote business, they stayed on my team and became top producers. So as hard as the challenge was for me to be taken seriously and get promoted for my qualifications and not my looks, I turned that around with a solution the company was looking for: numbers, revenue, and retention. Now, we all have problems, and in problems there are plenty of opportunities. In fact, one of the defining attributes of a successful person is the ability to turn those problems around. But how do you actually go about turning those problems into amazing solutions? It doesn't happen automatically. Problems have only the possibility, not the certainty, of becoming opportunities. And it takes focus and the ability to have an attitude that focuses on the positive outcomes rather than the negative ones. For every problem, there exists a solution, and at the very least, an opportunity. So how do we train ourselves to control our initial response to challenges so that they do become solutions? Well, let's look at three different ways, and hopefully we can beat the odds. The first is, you have to accept responsibility. The first step is to recognize that we are in control, but we need to accept responsibility for our responses and recognize that they assert a powerful influence on our life. Until we accept responsibility, we won't have any reason to change. Now, why do you think that many people don't accept responsibility? Well, that brings in a word that most people need but definitely don't want, and the word is accountability. When you are held accountable, that's when things get done. And holding yourself accountable is a lot harder than you think, so that's when you reach out to a coach or a mentor. The second is, it's about self-control with not a lot of effort. If you feel that there's a challenge coming into view, it's time to redirect and do it quickly. When you nip it in the bud, it's much easier to get back on course. Now it's time to figure out what's causing the challenges and then control it. Now for me, I'm an M&M girl. If I have a bag in the house and it's not open, I am just fine. But when it's open, I feel the need to finish it. So my challenge is, how do I not eat the M&Ms? Or more importantly, how do I not open that wonderful bag that's calling my name? It's easy. I don't buy them. So there's no temptation and therefore no challenge. So you may need to control your challenges by leaving those negative responses on the shelf in the store instead of inviting them into your business. And third, what would you do? Who do you know that takes every lemon and turns it into lemonade? Now, we all have a person in our lives that seems to be forever positive. When a situation presents itself and it's challenging or just downright difficult, think of that person and ask yourself, What would they do? And take the response you know that they would give and just do it. You'll be surprised how quickly your attitude will change. Now, when my daughter was a teenager, it was as if my precious little girl became the exorcist, including that full head turning. Now, we're constantly yelling at each other, and this was stressful and challenging on steroids for both of us. Well, at that point, a book came out with a title that said something like, Get Out of My Life, But First Can You Take Me to the Mall? I bought it, and I thought that that author was sitting in my kitchen. But what she said to do when things got out of control in your house, just take a step back and start to laugh. Yep, just laugh. Well, I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard, but I wasn't ready for the challenges and the struggles every single day, so that's what I did. I laughed. Well, my daughter thought I had lost my mind. I thought so as well, but what it did do is it diffused the situation, and I was cracking up, and then she started to laugh, and I'm sure you can guess how the attitudes changed in a very positive way. So how is it that we can control the situations? But how is it that we can create some situations for the challenges that we face? So the first thing is figure out the problem you're trying to solve. Make sure you're trying to solve the right problem and not one that isn't a priority for you. The second is analyze the problem. Look at it from every angle and figure out how often it happens. What might be potential causes, how severe it is, and what impacts it or it's impacted by it. You should also figure out how long you've had the problem and is it getting better or worse over time. And finally, come up with more than one solution. You've probably heard that you have to have a plan B. Well, this is no different. What's the solution you've come up with, and what's an additional solution that you might need, just in case? After you've evaluated all your options, you need to pick the best solution and move forward with it. So overcoming the odds and taking those challenges and turning them into solutions and opportunities is something to be proud of. Think about some of these incredible women who did just that, like Amelia Earhart. She was the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. Or Sandra Day O'Connor, the first female U.S. Supreme Court justice. Or Wilma Rudolph, the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in track and field during a single Olympic Games. Or Queen Victoria, who led the longest reign of any female monarch in history. And Sacagawea, a Native American who was a guide and interpreter with Lewis and Clark. Competing against all odds, taking a challenge and turning it into a solution and making incredible things happen, well, these women paved the way and others continue to do the same. When we come back, we'll be joined by an expert who not only won against all odds, she reached a dream come true. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can join us in our discussion by calling in. The number is 347-989-1363. Press number 1 and you will be on the show. Okay, so are you ready to get started with my first guest? Susie Sanchez is a devoted wife, mother, and a grandmother. She's best known for dancing as a professional cheerleader in the NFL during the 2011-2012 season for the Oakland Raiders. Featured in numerous media outlets, Susie captured the attention and recognition of many on a national level in her pursuit of living a dream. She was named by FoxSports.com as one of the 15 sports mothers with Salute on Mother's Day 2013, and she continues to inspire others with her determination, her passion, and her commitment. Defying all the odds, Susie journeyed an incredible path and is now sharing her inspirational true story, The Dream Lived, where she shares her incredible story about living a dream. It's an example and a reality that all dreams are attainable if you work hard, believe in yourself, and never give up. Susie wants to offer hope, inspiration, and an echoing message to all to go out, live for a moment in life, regardless of your age, your status, or your setbacks. So welcome to the show, Susie. You had quite a journey.
Oh, Judy, thank you for having me today. Yes, I've walked a pretty amazing path so far.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, let's start with the topic of the day. So what are your thoughts about succeeding against all odds?
Well, I think, as you mentioned earlier in your program, I think succeeding against all the odds is never giving up and believing yourself. I know for myself personally, becoming a professional cheerleader, it took me 5 years. And many times I would walk out of an audition and see many of the girls, you know, kind of sad and their head low. And I would look at them and say, no, keep your head high, work harder, and go back out there next year, you know. And I have a really big message to everybody out there about just never giving up and working your hardest to live a dream.
Okay, so you had a driving force for some reason to become an NFL cheerleader, and you've created a positive outcome of a very challenging situation. So can you share your journey with us?
I sure can, Judy. So initially, I began dancing at the age of 8. And throughout my dance career, all the way up into my early 20s, I knew the big rocket, the big Broadway, that was where I wanted to head as a professional dancer. And then life happened. You know, I had a child young at age 20. I was married by 24, and I never thought I would dance again. Like many mothers, we kind of move on, and our dreams are all about our children. And it wasn't until my early 30s, after having now 3 children, it started playing in my subconscious again at night. I missed the stage. I missed that arena. And I thought, how can I possibly, in my early 30s, still capitalize living this dream locally in the state of California? And that's when I tried out for the 2 NFL teams in Northern California, which was the Oakland Raiders and the San Francisco 49ers. And so it wasn't ultimately to be a professional cheerleader all my life. It was more or less to be a professional dancer. But I had to tweak the dream to some extent to make it work while raising children. And that began my journey of, you know, showing up to these auditions.
Okay, so did your family and friends think you were totally out of your mind?
You know, pretty much. They know, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Leo. I'm pretty stubborn. Once I set my mind to something, I'm probably going to make it happen, or at least try half a dozen times trying. And but that was kind of the magic in all the years is, gosh, there she goes again every year. She's going to go try at this again. Even my first dance teacher, when I walked into her dance studio and said, hey, I need to get, you know, an outfit for an audition. And she looked at me like, what are you doing? And but yet I think she saw that sparkle in her own eye, in my eye, of she had made an impact in my life. And here I was. I'm going to try. Whether or not I ever made it or not, it was still empowering that journey and that story of trying.
Okay, so take that, and let's shift it to someone that has this great idea about starting a business and gets absolutely no support from the people that you would assume would, the people that are closest to them. What would you tell them?
Well, obviously, if they're already starting that that business, they're already listening to that inner voice within themselves. And I think that's the biggest key factor in any dream or in any business is we all have that inner voice, and it's whether or not we want to listen to it. I easily could have continued to shy away what I was starting to hear after my third child was born, but I acted upon it. And I state at the end of my book, make a thought a binary moment and make it happen. And you can't expect, even in a business, oh, it's going to succeed the first year or even the first 5 years. But if you just believe in yourself and you continue to believe in that notion of I'm doing this and I'm inspiring all these people around me just by my actions, then regardless of the outcome, you're still a winner. You're always going to be a winner because you listen to your voice.
Okay, so you went from, you know, being someone special. You were a mom, you were a grandmother, you were a wife, you were a daughter, and you turned it into someone extraordinary in the eyes of the media. What made you stand out from the crowd?
Well, you know, the year I made the Oakland Raiders in 2011-2012, even at the audition, you know, I had auditioned 4 years for that team prior, and this particular year my daughter had a child. So when I stated my bio on the stage, I said, you know, I'm a proud mother of three, grandmother of one, and all of their eyes perked up like, what did she just say? And I don't think that was ever a factor to why I made the team. I think they saw my dedication year after year of trying to make this team. But when we did our bio on the website that July, we really still don't know how it went viral or who picked up the story. And there was a small article in the town I live in that just said, you know, this woman finally did it. And it went national. It made national attention. And I knew right then, regardless of making the team or dancing or all the years of my journey, that somehow God was playing that next step in my life with, you know what, I'm going to eventually motivate the world. I'm going to tell this story. Because there's obviously was a huge, huge interest at the time.
Well, you know, and I think it's great that, you know, they were picking up a story that you were a grandmother, which is wonderful, but the team would not choose you because you were a grandmother. You had to have talent because, you know, I mean, it's the same thing as in business. You don't, people get promoted because they're female a lot of times, but once they're in the position, they got to show their stuff, so you obviously are talented, right?
Oh, yes, obviously. I mean, I would have just made that team walking up there not knowing how to dance. And I've said many times, I never would have fooled myself in my early 30s showing up to any one of these auditions if I really truly didn't think, A, I had the skill, I had the look. But for me, more than that, it was I had the life skill. I was older. I looked at some of these women in their early 20s, and I don't know if I could have tried out for those teams then. I think my nerves would have had the best of me, or lack of maybe life skill and life lessons. So for me, I think my biggest pivotal moment of the entire experience is I instilled in my children via my actions that they could do anything in their lives. And you don't realize it at that moment as you're trying to live a dream, but I've let them know they can do anything. Anybody can. But, you know, you definitely have to have somewhat of a skill, and you have to have the backbone of what the entertainment world or, you know, the business you're trying to get into. You have to have the knowledge and the skill behind it as well.
So do you love the celebrity status?
Well, I don't really call myself a celebrity. The year on team, yeah, my name was everywhere. Any appearance I did, oh, there's Granny, this and that. And that was a little bit tough because I'm like, wait, I have a lot more than just that part of my story. You know, but like I said, at the end of the day, I still think this is my new direction in life, motivational speaking, inspirational speaking. I see myself on big stages inspiring many women, many mothers, but even the young youth. Just anybody that's, you know, forgotten that dream or doesn't want to listen to that inner voice, go do it. Because it's going to be magic when you do, but more than that, you're going to keep that ball spinning and you're going to motivate so many other people around you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I truly believe that everyone has a book inside of them. And when I wrote my first book, it was written with much influence from my business coach, I might add, but I had to get 30 years of experiences organized and shared. So what made you sit down and write your story? Because a lot of people have the story, they just don't do it, and you actually did it. So tell us about The Dream Lived.
Oh, thank you so much, Judy. And it is, I totally agree with you. I think everybody does have a book inside. Everyone has an incredible message to deliver. I didn't make it back on team after my year with the Raiders. I went out the next year, and I was cut from the team, and I was hurt. I'm pretty raw emotion as I talk about that in my book. And at the end of the day, I give it to God. Everything in life happens for a reason. And so in 2013, the next year of the NFL tryouts, I knew I was done, but I said, I'm going to go out one more time. I'm going to try out one more huge audition. And I looked at my husband and I said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but do you mind if I fly to Dallas? I'm going to do the ultimate, you know, what they call in the cheerleading world, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Yep.
And he, like he always has, he supported me. I got on a plane. I flew out there. I didn't make it past the first day, but when I did my bio in Dallas, you know, you state your name, and instantly every reporter knew who I was. And that's when I knew. I said, you know, there's an interest. It's been 2 years now, and my name is still touching people. They did a nice article out of the Dallas newspaper there. And I flew home, and within 2 weeks, I sat down and I started writing the dream list.
Wow, that's awesome. So
yeah.
You write your book, and it gets out there, and it's going to inspire lots of people. Is there another book coming?
I think there's a few in my mind. I definitely want to dedicate a book to my granddaughter, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I've known that all along. I don't dedicate her at the front of my book. This book was for my children and my husband because they were my parents. They were my main support system, living the dream. But there is definitely a book to my granddaughter, Grace. And possibly the pregnancy story of living through a teenage pregnancy. I know when we lived through it with our daughter, there wasn't a lot of self-help books on how you get through that and what that world looks like. And there's so many young girls that go through this and so many families. So that's going to be a very deep book and very emotional because I can recall so much of it, but it's such a powerful ending. I state in my book, you know, at the end there's always a rainbow. Through any storm, there's always, and that's what grace was to our life. So yes, I definitely see a self-help book towards families going through teen pregnancies.
Excellent. So I'm going to ask you a funny question, and I'm sure that you're hoping that this will turn into a movie so that you can spread your message even wider, which is really the truth about why people want movies. But here's my funny question: who would you choose to play you in the movie?
Oh, Judy, I'm not sure, and there was interest. I was on team in Hollywood. I was on a couple conference calls when I was on contract with the team, and they never panned out. And again, at the end of the day, I give it to God, and I do hope someday my book, my story, can make some level of TV because it is powerful, and there's so many facets to my story that hits so many different people along the way, and in due time it will come. I really do feel that. And I would just hope whoever played me would be spunky, would be real, would be loyal, and really would understand how I never gave up and lived the dream.
Yeah, you have to find somebody really awesome for that. See, for me, I would want Meryl Streep. And just because, well, you know, we're the same kind of age bracket and everything else.
Right.
But, and I just think that she's phenomenal. So you have to think about that because somebody's going to ask you that question when they're ready to you know, cast the movie. So you have to have that answer.
I hope so.
Yes.
I'll find one by then. There we go.
I'm sure you will. Okay. So I'm a big proponent on paying it forward. I mentor young women and I love that part of my life. So how are you taking your journey and paying it forward?
That's what it's all about, right? That's mm-hmm. the magic. Those are the magic words, what you just said, and I must say that 50 times throughout my book. Paying it forward, I'm on the call with you right now. I'm hopefully inspiring all of your listeners. Like I said, I plan to get on many, many stages and just look folks in the eyes and say, you can do this. I was a young mother at 20. I witnessed and watched my 16-year-old daughter have a child. I lived through things in my life, setbacks, but never gave up. And that's my biggest message. If I hand anybody my book, it's paying it forward. Let me give you the skills. Let me give you, you know, those few insights that I had along the way that can tell that person, go live the magic, go live the dream. But when you're done living the dream, make sure you then trickle it off and pay everybody else forward because then it just makes the world a better place, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So who do you hope to inspire the most? Is it young women? Is it, you know, women that are in transition? Who are you hoping?
You know, my first thought when you asked that is the mothers out there, because I was this person for a good 11 years where I had my children and it's, you know, it's your whole world. I still worked full time. Every once in a while, I'd have a year off here or there to be with my children as I was raising them. But I worked outside of home. But even though you're living their life and you're bringing them to their soccer practice or baseball practice, so much of a woman, I feel, dies inside. And I think the biggest joy I saw was as soon as mom went back to dance class, the kids looked at me like, who is she? Because I was alive inside again. So when I then participated, let's say, in their soccer program or their brownie, you know, meetings, I was more upbeat because I was living again. So mm-hmm. I think my first most powerful, you know, group to motivate is mothers. I see a lot through pictures and on Facebook and sites we live through our children. But guess what? We can live aside them. We can also have bonus and still live our own dreams. And secondly, I think the next big group to motivate, like I said, is families living through that pregnancy situation. I want to hold their hand. I want to tell them, guess what? It's going to be a better day because it's tough. It's a tough moment. It's tough on a marriage. You know, I don't go into much depth in my book about that year with my daughter, but it's a challenging situation. And then Thirdly, why not talk to all the grandmas in the world? I'm part of that world now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The young grandma, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I didn't mind when the media wants to throw out granny. You know, I'm proud. I feel like I've done something right in this world. And whether my daughter was young or she had her first child at 29, it makes no difference. God granted me a gift.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I have a friend whose daughter was also a teen mom, and she was very young. She was probably 15 or 16. And what he said to me was, when she told him, whatever he said next was going to change her life. So whether he, you know, screamed at her or whether he said, no problem, you know, we're family or whatever, it was going to change her life. And he took the second choice. He said, no problem, we're family, we'll take care of it. And I always remembered that because that changes someone's life drastically. They're already in a situation that's tough, but this at least gave them the ability to work together as a family.
Oh, absolutely. And it is. You know, I could have taken two roads, but it's like I'm not leaving her side. I'm going to, you know, grasp onto this, and regardless of the situations, we're getting through this. And it was funny, Gracie was born in January, and that following April, like 4 months later, was the Oakland audition. And I thought, no, I'm done. I can't do this. And I was on a semi-pro team the year before, and my director said, Susie, I think you need to give it one more try. I'm like, no, I'm a grandmother now. She's like, no, I think you do. And then look at it. That's the year I made it. So everything in life is already pre-passed, I feel. And we're just riding or walking that journey. And I don't know where my path is heading, but I see a huge future in this whole arena of motivation. I really do.
Well, and her name, Grace, also added to the whole situation. Yeah, without question. So what's next for you?
Hitting that stage, you know, these last few months, my book released in February. These last few months, I really wanted to start just hitting the media, radio programs, but now starting fall, I'm going to start really reaching out to different organizations, Boys and Girls Clubs of America, pregnancy places, you know, just really starting to hand deliver, you know, bring me to your place. Let me try to inspire. I would love to reach out to young girls trying out for the NFL team. You know,
I have a connection for you there.
Yes, I would walk with so many back to the cars, and I would listen to them, and, you know, and I have tears in my eyes, too. I'm not going to lie, but it's like, don't give up. You're young. You can do this 10 more years.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. So just empowering. Any place I can empower is what I plan to do.
Okay. So how can our listeners connect with you? Because I know that people are going to want to get more of your story and just stay connected.
Oh, I hope so. So my book is available on all the major platforms, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can get the, you know, online, download it on iTunes, eNook, all those sites. And I keep all my content at http://about.me/Susie.Sanchez. And also, if you just Google my name, you will see all the major press of 2011, 12, and 13 that, you know, hit my name with being the quote-unquote granny on the team that season.
Granny on the team. Well, we're pushing it all out for you all over social media. So my final question to you is, what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
You know, Judy, my biggest message is what I said earlier. Find that inner voice. We all have it. We all hear that dream from time to time. When you hear it the next time, listen to it and act on it. And go try reliving that moment. And it's okay if you don't, you know, succeed year one, year two. Shoot, it took me 5 years. but everyone around you will see that inspiration, that growth, and that new rebirth of who you are trying to live the dream. And when it happens, it's the absolute most amazing feeling you will feel. And then you will inspire everyone around you through what journey you just walked. And in the end, I hope others can say what I always say, live your dreams and never give up.
Well, that's awesome, Susie. You have shared some great thoughts with our audience, and I'm looking forward to staying connected and watching for the next chapter that unfolds. So I thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Judy, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
it. Yes. So we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women. It's an important information source for women in business. You can check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com. You subscribe for free. Just save it in your favorite places, and it automatically updates on a regular basis. Now, if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors. Just go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com, click on the Sponsor tab, and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I want to make sure you stay current with all of our guests and everything that's going on, the updates, the events, everything. So I want you to go ahead and like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. And then I want you to be my friend on Facebook, so just ask me at Judy Hoberman. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. Remember, staying connected gives you access, and guess where that takes you? To success and profitability. Okay, so are you ready for my next guest? Talk about zeroing in on a challenge and creating an outstanding solution. Twyla Garrett is the owner of IME and the author of Homeland Security, A Comprehensive Guide for All. She recently spoke at the United Nations, the White House, and has been invited by the Women in Leadership Development and Empowerment, Inc., team to act as the keynote speaker at their annual awards and philanthropy gala this October. She's an executive consultant to federal, state, and local emergency management and homeland security programs nationwide. In addition to IME and other businesses, she self-funded a $1.5 million entertainment complex in Cleveland, Ohio. Her efforts single-handedly added to the improvement of Cleveland's economic culture by hiring formerly homeless individuals. Twyla is an emotional, physical, and sexual abuse survivor. She's an Ohio native who sought to climb her way out of despair, family trauma, and financial disadvantages by following her entrepreneurial spirit to San Diego, California, and eventually Washington, D.C. Twyla, welcome to the show. I am super excited to have a major rock star here to share the mic with me.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction.
Well, I was just in your neck of the woods for the past 5 days, and had I realized it, I should have just stayed another day and done the interview in person, because that would have been awesome.
Oh, when you're back, please let me know. I would love to definitely, we can do lunch and definitely do more interviews.
Absolutely. Okay, so if you listen to the beginning of the show, I was talking about overcoming odds, taking challenges and turning them into solutions, and creating amazing things. So let's start with, Do you believe that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. My journey has started with a very abusive mom and a very abusive childhood. We were very poor and underprivileged. But what I can tell you is that was actually my biggest blessing. And I didn't realize it. I knew something was different, but that adversity actually helped me be who I am today. I have an actual second book that's coming out in the middle of November. I hope you have me back. It's going to be called My Mother's Words: Have the Most Negative Influence in My Life Was the Most Positive Motivator. And I honestly believe that so many people take negative challenges and they use those as the excuses. Well, I took every negative thing that came to me, and I realized that it had to be something better. So I just used that as my fuel to actually fire me through the system and fire me through life. And it hasn't let me down yet. So I think you have to take the adversity. That's life. There is never going to be anyone in this journey or anyone in this world that's going to tell you that their journey wasn't filled with something, whether it's sickness and ailments, death, tragedies, or just the fact that they just may be homeless or, you know, don't have it all. But that's how you have to now take that and figure out how do you get to something different. You have to want to be something different in order for it to happen. And you really have to work for it. And so I think you have to be just as tenacious as you are being depressed and miserable in your misery. You have to take that tenacity and be that just as, you know, pissed off with the world and use that fuel to actually fire your growth and know what you're good at. You know, everybody has a great trait. They just have to hone in on what that trait is.
Okay, so here's I usually ask people this in a different way, but I'm just going to come right out and ask you, have you ever failed at anything? Because we all know women don't want to fail, and they're afraid to, and what would happen if we gave ourselves permission to fail and treat it as a lesson?
I have more failed businesses under my belt than I have successful ones. But what is so weird is that the failures that I had in those businesses and in life actually helped me build better businesses that I have today. So you got to give yourself permission to fail. Failure is actually the key to success. Those individuals who are so stuck in trying to make everything be perfect and make everything a daunting success will realize that behind that is going to be a bunch of failures, even though you probably masked those as something different. And so acknowledging those failures, writing them down, articulate what happened. Every time I've closed a business, whether it was because of slow growth, wrong people, theft, whatever happened, I document every single step. And the last thing I ask myself is, what would I have done differently now knowing? Remember, hindsight is always better. Mm-hmm. So when you have a failure, you can sit back and kind of pick it apart and articulate and bring other people to the table. Ask them, what did they see as the biggest failure? Those are the things that you need to make sure that you're successful the next go around. And even if the next go around is totally different. So absolutely, I have failed at things. I have a book too that I'm working on for next year that's nothing but business failure. And the reason for this book is to help people realize that failure is an option for success.
Yeah, you know, I always say that people and situations are either a blessing or a lesson, and you have to treat them as one as one or the other. If it's a waste, then it's a waste of time. Then what did you gain from it? You know,
that's right. That's right.
Okay,
that's a great way.
Yeah. So you've created an incredible business, and it's built on providing solutions for challenges that our country faces. So how, why, what, whatever, how, all these things, why did you do this? And tell us a story about it, and what's the reason for all of this?
Okay, well, my story is pretty simple. When I went to college, I actually got picked up in an intern program with the Department of Defense. And when I got picked up with the Department of Defense, I didn't know what I was in for. I was a kid that's just, you know, I came out as an accountant. And my journey just spanned across the board. I ended up being an accountant that focused on trust funds, like the Naval Academy. I ended up being asked to be moved and go over to San Diego, where I actually had a deputy comptroller position for the Native North Island, which is where the Navy SEALs are. I spent about 9 years with the government. And what I realized is that my passion was being able to provide services to the warfighter. Then I ended up going through a lot of leadership programs. They saw something in me, and realized that this could be a leader, and they put me into some amazing programs in the federal government. As I went through those programs, one of the things I recognized real quickly is that I'm in a male environment. I was in a command that's probably 90% men. Most people thought I was a student aide because I looked really young, and I was young, and I was getting real high marks, and so I had a very high grade level at my age. And most people told me, well, you need to probably wait 9 to 10 years before you can get that next promotion. Well, me having that entrepreneurial mind, there was no way I was going to wait 9 to 10 years. So I came back. I quit the government at 28. I opened up Investment Management Enterprise, which is IME. And the reason for IME is because I worked with the White House and I did this stint focusing on the Clinger-Cohen Act, which was the Investment Management Act. So when I came back, I said, you know what, I'm going to call the company IME. I got my first contract back with the organization that I work for, and then that's all she wrote. So 9/11 came by. I was already in business about a year and a half. We ended up having to support the federal, state, and local governments who were doing responses, and I found that there was a need. The one thing that I used to complain about in the federal government was all the bureaucracy and the paperwork. That was my blessing. Because of that discipline, I spent 9 years knowing how to do program management, project management, acquisition support, I was able to take that blessing and that tenacity and move that into the commercial market and the state and local market to teach them how to run large-scale projects. A lot of money started coming into state and local governments, and they didn't really have the sound program management structure in place of how to manage and be successful in getting the product. So in a sense, IME was actually hired to be the first program managers of this fund called UASI, which is Department of Homeland Security. So we helped the National Capital Region kind of program manage their entire pot of money for some years. I mean, we went on for approximately 6, 7.5 years, helped managing that fund, and then my company switched focus and started doing program management, which was actually making sure that the products were being delivered. So that's the space that I love. I love being able to make sure that, you know, I support the warfighter, I support the actual service, and also state and local governments, because there is a gap sometimes in deficiencies of the services that are provided, and be able to make sure that you can speak the same language. There's a different language when you're a federal government than when you are in a state and local. So I was able to bring that balance and blend to some of the elected officials to say, you know, this is how we really have to talk to the government, and this is what we have to do to make things successful. So I enjoy that. We employ a lot of people that's in that. We're just playing an exercise at, we just played a tabletop exercise in the National Capital Region around active shooters. We're about to do another full-scale one in the next couple of weeks around that as well. So this is what we love. I enjoy making sure that we can protect our nation, we can protect our citizens, both, you know, even the ones here foreign and domestically when they travel as well.
Well, you know, I will just say thank you for everybody that's listening, because I think what you're doing is amazing. But my question to you is, you're working with the government. Is it harder to have them as a client than a private sector company? Is there a higher standards that you have to follow, or are they more difficult?
Well, you know, for me, I grew up in this space, so the regimen is what I knew. We're just now, over the last year, going into the commercial marketplace, and it is truly a night and day difference. Definitely. There's a lot of regulations. There's definitely a lot of rigor. You need to be able to read. Definitely read the contracts that you're signing, knowing that the obligations that you're doing on both sides. But the government does have a lot more stringency, audit ability, and things of that nature. I find it much easier. I mean, I've actually been coined the Fed Biz Lady, which is the person that really can help commercial markets and employers of commercial activities to come into the federal government, because I know acquisition, I know how to write proposals, I know it. And what I found in it, it's a little bit more lax, a lot of more personal relationships when you deal on the commercial side. You spend a lot more money in business development on the commercial side than you will ever probably spend on the federal side.
Right, right, absolutely. And you're going to have to talk to my husband, the Colonel, because you have a lot of things to talk about. Yeah.
Love
so,
to.
Yes. So tell me, what's the experience that a company receives by working with IME? Because it sounds like it wouldn't be just a normal, you know, structured experience. It sounds like it's really something that is, for lack of a better word, enjoyable to work with you.
Well, you know, I had a recent client at the Department of State that gave us a performance evaluation. And literally, by reading it, you actually brought in tears. One of the bottom phrases that she put at the end is that this is a small business delivering big business results. And see, that's what we do. I mean, we really focus on the need. We're more agile. We're more flexible. The owner is involved. You will see me on site. In some cases, in some clients, I'm billable. So I make sure to make sure that attention to detail is in every single client, that we customize a solution for you. You know, our whole model is turning challenges into solutions, and that's what we do. When you have a problem, we sit and we meticulously go through how to correct and solve that problem. So the experience is a lot more engaging. The experience is a lot more interactive. We want you to be a vested partner in us. And while the big businesses will say the same, they have shareholders that they are accountable to. The ones that I'm accountable to, it's not about the money. And see, I tell people when they go to start business, it's not about the money, because there's a lot of jobs we've done with the federal government that made no money. But we've done them because it made a value. And see, when you do things that you love to do and you make a difference, the money will come later. The money will come because people are going to want you. It's not about necessarily the profit margin. You're not 35% margin. You got to make sure you can pay the salaries of the people you bring on and the expertise you have in your company. But beyond that, we're there to actually be a vested partner. And normally we're 30% less or even more in some cases of our big business vendors that are competing in the same space where we are.
Okay, so I do believe that many times companies forget about the little details, and they also forget about something big, the core values. It's just another policy or procedure that they just throw on the shelf. So how important is it to be reminded and to work within the guidelines of taking care of those details and remembering your core values? Is it something that you strive towards?
Yes, we use an EOS model in our business, and it's an entrepreneurial operations system. And we constantly drill. We only have three. I mean, and it is really about being flexible and agile. We're committed to the end, and we have a heart. You know, you're not dealing with a company that doesn't care. We care. I mean, we look at you not just as a dollar sign, but we look at you as a person. We enjoy working with the people we're with. And so it is key when we go into an engagement that they know that that's where we're coming from. We've told clients, no, this is not part of our value system. There's certain things we can't do because it doesn't match up to our value line. And they've been impressed. They've been able to come over and say, well, we didn't realize. We've never had another company tell us no before. They just took the money. But that's not us. So you have to make sure every day, every week when we start our conference calls with our staff meetings, we go over our core values. We make sure that our profits are aligned with our core values, and that our charitable contributions are aligned with our core values. But what's even better is that we have a people analyzer. Our people that we bring on, it's all about having the right butts in the right seats. And to do that, we have to make sure that our core values, when we interview, we really have to make sure you're aligned with our value system in order to come in and make an impact. So we constantly keep that in front of us, and we constantly evaluate whether that's something else we need to add because of the times, because of the environment, or just the evolution of the product as it moves forward. So we constantly keep that abreast. I think if you know we're going to be flexible and agile, everybody in my company has to have that same ability to be flexible. We know that the government can change in a dime. Situations will change the government. So we have to be flexible to change with them around the board.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. So I know that you're a certified woman-owned business, and when I wasn't excited about the process or the paperwork involved, but I am so proud to hold that designation as well. Has this helped you grow your business?
Well, frankly, we have never had any work based upon our certification. And I stand and say that proudly. The reason why I say that is because I came out knowing how to compete. I came out initially writing proposals and going up against some of the largest firms while I was just a one-man band. But now that we have these designations, we are trying to leverage some of these. And I spoke about a week or so ago and to some SBA reps. The problem that we have with some of the designations that's in the federal government space is that they're not used. Every time they say get them, get them, get them, but they don't know how to use them in the acquisition shop. They only really know the main one, which is the 8A qualification. There are certified for woman-owned certifications, certified legitimate businesses, but there is not hardly any procurement shop that know how to actually execute that. They don't know how to actually set aside the rule of two and actually get two women-owned businesses to compete and award. You know, a lot of times they double count or triple count. If you're a veteran-owned, woman-owned small business, they'll give one procurement to you and mark all the boxes, everything. So we have to be more they have to have more due diligence to hold these contracting offices more accountable and the program offices to do a holistic view. Stop using the 8A and start using some of these other tools. We would be delighted to. We've been pushing it. We're working with legislation, our legislators, to actually move forward to say it's mandatory that you not have to really give these percentages and really train the procurement shops on how to utilize that, because we haven't been able to take advantage of it. It's great that we have it. We're a hub zone, too. Now, we know hub zone is very popular, so we're trying to utilize that as well. But the one thing I caution people, and I can tell you a lot of 8A businesses can contest to this, you get into some of these programs and you get a lot of these business, but as soon as that program is terminated or it ends, they go out of business within 2 to 3 years. And the reason why, because they get the set-asides and they don't know how to really write and compete for business. So in a way, I'm glad we're 14 years in business, and we have been competing from day one, and we will still compete. We will utilize these tools and these certifications to try to move us farther in line. But I say, make sure you can compete up front. Don't use it as a crutch. Use it as something that you can say will get you farther ahead just because you have it. Make it the differentiator between you and Company B.
Perfect. Okay. So you've written a book called Homeland Security, A Comprehensive Guide for All. What made you sit down and write that? Because that's not a book that, it's not a short little novel. This is a huge, there's a lot of good content in there. So what made you do that?
Well, I've worked with a lot of government officials in the state and local arena, and they change out quite often. And what I realized is that every time we had a new mayor or governor, everything changed. Education had to change. People had to get back up to speed. Some individuals you had that didn't know anything, and then some who came out that was ex-military that knew everything. So I wanted to write something where people can actually see it's not just for them. Instead of asking questions about how you can get involved, how you can prepare for a tragedy, this guide is for everyone. If you're an elected official, I implore you to get my book, because it will tell you about how DHS was established, what were the rules, why it came about, how the money has changed over the years, and what's the focus now. It will tell you how to go for certain grants and how to prepare for those grants. Even nonprofits, there are grants for you through the Homeland Security event to do some target hardening and things of that nature. So, and then for the average person, how to establish call lists, who can you deal with, how do you deal with your city's officials even better to make sure that your community is prepared, family reunification. There's a lot of questions that had to be answered, and nobody was sitting down thinking about that aspect. Most people were just talking about either bash Homeland Security because they're not doing their job, or, woe is me, we need more money. And my book takes a different light. My book is there to address knowledge and education for anyone, including families, because now you can sit down and you can say, oh, I see why the city did XYZ. I know why we have, certain sirens in the neighborhoods now, and I know who pays for them. And I know why we can do XYZ and how you can actually influence the back end to make sure certain Homeland Security products and initiatives are done. So it was really to educate everyone. It was really frustrating as new administrations came in. It was kind of like starting all over again. So as administrations come in that we work with, I will give them a copy of my book for free to just come out and say, look, take a look at this. This is how we got here. If you never knew what happened and you lucked up and won this election, let's figure out how to get you useful.
Awesome. Okay, so you have been extremely successful. So do you believe that a woman can have it all?
I think all is relative. I think, frankly, for me, I had to make decisions and sacrifices on certain things. So all was relative to me. I was able to put a personal life on hold to build my business. I do know that there's a lot of people who are the moms, the soccer moms, the businesswomen, and I do think you can do it all, but I also think you have to step back and figure out how to balance that all. Something always takes priority. You just have to put that in line. And so for me, having multiple business in different locations, caring for my dad and things of that nature, those are priorities for me. my pets and things of that nature. So I have to put all everything in perspective. But I think you have to wonder what is all, and you have to accept what's all for you. And sometimes all is not everything. All is just making sure that you're happy, you're efficient, and that you can live the best quality life that you can. And a lot of that really starts with health. So I caution people to say, you know, I want it all, because you don't really know what all is. You really got to define what that is. So some people, all might be a full-time job, and they get home every day and go to the beach.
Right, right. You're right. You're right. It's all about your definition of all. So how can our listeners connect with you?
Well, I'm on all the venues. If you Google me at Twyla Garrett, you can get my blog. If you go to Facebook and put in Twyla Garrett, you can see it there. Or you can go to www.hireime.com. You can actually get my book off of there. I'm on Amazon. I'm on all the major outlets. And definitely when my next book comes out, I would love to talk to you, because that really talks about my journey into business, my challenges, my struggles, and how I move forward and why today I am a better person. Even though my mom had a different way of loving me, she gave me some great tools to use, and I would love to make sure I share that with your readers and your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my friend, our time has come to an end. I can't believe how quickly this is. You are truly an amazing and fascinating woman, and I absolutely positively want you back, and so you can update us on the happenings in your world. So I thank
Wonderful.
You so much for sharing the mic with me today. You were tremendous.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Definitely what you're doing is wonderful for women-owned businesses. We need a voice. So thank you so much for the voice that you're giving us.
Thank you. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few of the challenges women entrepreneurs face and share some solutions. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune into Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, we all face challenges in our business, so let me share a few that are specific to women and how to overcome them. The first is cultural. Many times we have this business in our minds and we're told it's a crazy idea and just to keep it as a hobby. Worse yet, if your brother shares his idea and he receives those high fives, letting him know that he's onto something big. The solution? Stick to your guns and don't listen to that limiting beliefs. Think about Debbie Fields. She said, "The greatest failure is not to try. Had I listened to all the people during the course of my life who said, 'You can't, you'll fail, it won't work, you don't have anything,' I wouldn't be here today." The second is that our society still believes in many instances that businesses are better handled by men. In certain industries, women are not looked at as being competent and believe they would rather work with a man. Today, with so many businesses based on relationships, who better than a woman to crash through those stereotypes and work in construction or become an electrician or a plumber and basically do whatever they want and are qualified to do? The solution? Use what comes naturally. In other words, start seeing your inherent feminine qualities as an asset rather than a liability, and go out there and perform and even outperform those that don't believe you can. Mary Kay Ash said, "Those men didn't believe a woman had a brain matter at all. I learned that back then, and that as long as men didn't believe women could do anything, women were never going to have a chance." And the third is raising capital. Sad but true, investors many times don't want to bring a chance with women. They don't want to take that risk. Who knows or understands the reasons? Being persistent is really the only solution. Selling yourself is important here, and never giving up is imperative. J.K. Rowling said, "What's the worst that could happen? Everyone turned me down? Big deal. And look where she is now." And the last and many times the biggest challenge is that work-life balance. We talk about this all the time, and it's funny that we still need to continue to do that and have that conversation. But the truth of the matter is that women do have that additional responsibility of not only running their business, but also running their households. And as we know, we always feel guilty about one or the other. The solution? Delegate, 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 and have a great time management system. Lillian Vernon shares her theory. How do you balance growing the business with raising a family? You just do it. I had a business, a lot of orders, and a baby howling for supper. You balance it, you give your baby supper first, and they get your orders in. Now, we're all faced with challenges and have obstacles in front of us. Some we can see, and some haven't appeared as yet. It's not the challenge that will change you, it's the way you respond to it. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.